the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up. On this beautiful Friday morning, you are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado. Hey, Damian, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday.
You ready for the weekend?
Yes.
Good.
Absolutely.
All right.
Banners in the air. Yes. How about you?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Grandkids are in town, so having a good time with them.
Oh, man.
And plan to do a few activities, so it's always fun to be a kid again. Yeah. And so we're going to pray this morning to St. Clare, who is our patron saint of the day, Clare of Assisi, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O St. Clare, first disciple of the poor man of Assisi, who abandoned all riches and honors for a life of sacrifice and of the highest poverty, obtained from God for us the grace we ask, and that we will always submit to the divine will and of living confidently in the providence of our Heavenly Father. Amen. In the name of the Father, amen. Son, Holy Spirit, amen. St. Clare of Assisi, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have a wonderful show for you today, starting off with some events in our listening area. That's coming up at 10 after, following the gospel. In 18 minutes, Nicole Jones joins us. Nicole is a digital media manager with the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And today we're talking about a plethora of topics, including AI, social media, and digital evangelization. So looking forward to having this conversation with Nicole. It's been a hot topic here on Wake Up and pretty much all over. So looking forward to learning a little bit more from her. In 35 minutes, Deacon Martin Gutierrez joins us. He's a vice president of mission and community engagement with Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Today, we're talking about disaster relief services. As we know, August and September are pretty much active months during the hurricane season, and we're going to be reflecting back on different relief services that Catholic Charities has provided and kind of stay up to date with what we can learn from them as we continue on with this year's hurricane season. And in 48 minutes, Scott Smith joins us. He is a Catholic attorney and author. And today we're going to be talking about how we can consecrate our family to Saint Joseph. So I couldn't think of a better person to talk about this than the author himself, along with the book he's written with Father Donald Calloway, who we've spoken a couple of weeks ago on this consecration to the family. So looking forward to today's show, Damian.
Okay. And hopefully we can look forward to the weather sometime in October. Right now, though, another scorcher expected today. High 103. That's right, 103. And believe it or not, it looks like it's going to be right around 103 through Monday. 15% to 20% chance of rain. That's if you're lucky. Otherwise, it's going to be hot, dry, and just a heat beatdown. That's what it is right now, a heat beatdown. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Temperatures, everyone already in the 80s and climbing. New Orleans, it's 85. Covington and Homme-Thibodeau, 82 degrees there. Bay St. Louis, it's 84. And in Baton Rouge, it's 83. And I want to just say a quick mention. We need to be praying for the folks in Hawaii, Maui in particular. Boy, they are just getting devastated with those fires. If you haven't kept up, you need to, but pray for them. Over 50 people have been killed. They still don't know how many more may be dead, and destroying everything just about on that island. So let's keep them in our prayers. Right now, though, it's 5 after the hour on this Friday morning. Wake Up continues with events right around the corner.
Thank you. A good Friday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay each according to his conduct. Amen, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." We've heard the gospel, and so now we reflect.
Following Jesus is the life's greatest adventure. When Jesus called Saul of Tarsus, he explained to Ananias that Saul was a chosen instrument of mine, a reality that also applies to each one of us. We too are chosen instruments through whom God wants to bring salvation to others. That destiny seems delightful and exciting until we read the rest of Jesus' statement, namely, "And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." Uh-oh. Well, this brings us to today's gospel and the shadow of the cross, which sums up the accumulative difficulties and sufferings we will each encounter over the course of our life, facing our sinfulness and shortcomings, together with enduring physical suffering, the death of loved ones, financial struggles, betrayals, slander, persecutions, and our own death, just to name a few. So in order to follow Jesus to his resurrection and glorious ascension to the Father, we must pass through Calvary modeling Jesus' self-sacrificing love. There is no other way, for Jesus declared, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." The history of the church demonstrates that just as each individual must follow Jesus by way of the cross, so too must the church collectively experience its crucifixion experience. And so it is that Jesus has always suffered in his mystical body, persecutions, betrayals, heresies, apostasy, and schism. These trials are the crucible that forge saints, as weak men and women become the instrument Jesus uses to humble Satan and his minions. Today, we face the worldwide rejection of God as an irrelevant fantasy, while the smoke of Satan has entered into the very sanctuary of the church. Once again, Jesus is betrayed by his own. But Jesus reassures us, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He even sends his mother to guide us, to repent, to trust, and to pray, and especially the rosary, the prayer of the whole gospel. So will we heed our Heavenly Mother's call? Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers and Father Chris Decker. You are so right. We have to embrace that cross and at the same time remember money can't buy you love. I don't care what anyone says. A number of events in and around our area, right, Gabby? In particular, my home church parish, St. Jude Catholic Church in Baton Rouge, having their annual golf classic. It's going to be held Monday, September 25th at Santa Maria Golf Course in Baton Rouge, as I mentioned. $600 per foursome, and that includes your food, your drink, your green fees. And it's going to benefit the St. Jude Cougar Athletic Program. If you want more information, you can go to StJudeBoosterClub.com or something even easier, ccmedia.live.
That is right. Well, also, Echo in Lake Charles is for married couples that will come together for the weekend of November 10th through the 12th to dive into St. John Paul II's theology of the body, all while growing in their own relationships and in authentic community with other couples. The retreat will offer dynamic talks, life-giving discussions, quality time with your spouse, encounters with Christ through the sacraments, art, music, silent prayer, and so much more. The cost is $500 per couple and includes food, accommodations, and all of your retreat details or all of your retreat materials. You can get the details at our website at ccmedia.live. And I have to say that any Echo retreat, I have heard nothing but wonderful things about these retreats offered by the Echo community.
Okay. Yeah, I hear they're pretty special. I haven't been to any yet, mm-hmm. but there's so many things going on, like the event taking place at St. Angela Merisi Church in Metairie. They're hosting a Mission to the Holy Spirit on August 16th to the 18th. So that's next week. The celebrants are going to be Archbishop Gregory Amon, Father Beau Charbonnet, and Father Anthony Odeong. Each night begins with confession from 6:15 to 6:45. Then there's music ministry at 6:30 taking place. Mass will be at 7 o'clock. Special night, August 18th, there's going to be a healing service, which will follow the Mass that evening. The theme of the mission is, Let the Peace of Christ Control Your Heart. I like that. All collections to benefit the Woman's New Life Clinic, so that's also important. If you want more details, go to ccmedia.live. We've got all the info there for each and every night.
Yes. Well, families, you can sign up today while there is still a space for a Family That Prays retreat. This unique family weekend getaway is intended for married couples and their children ages 7 to 17 and will take place October 14th through the 15th at the beautiful St. Joseph's Abbey. What a beautiful, serene place on the North Shore. Highly recommend taking a visit. Through God's grace, each family will be enriched in their love for God and each other. Couples will enjoy their stay at the St. Joseph's Abbey Retreat Center, while the teens and youth will lodge in the cabins at Camp Abbey. There is no cost, and they no cost.
Okay.
Wow. Okay, I had to read that over again. I'm glad you asked me to, because it's kind of cool. Okay, so the parents are separated from the kids, but you know, as a kid, I loved that little freedom. I love my parents. But when you're, you know, you feel like you're an adult. You're kind of like separated. You're free, quote unquote. You know what I mean? It's different. Yes. Highly recommend taking a look at that. So,
And it sounds like a great retreat for the family.
And you're with other kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
And it's a safe environment, too. All right. Yeah. Gabby, thank you for that info as well. Folks, it's already moving right along. It's 15 after on this Friday morning. We've got more.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 11th. Today we celebrate Saint Clare. This is the story of a woman who followed her own path in life. At 15, she refused to marry. Instead, she followed the example of a dynamic young preacher, Francis Bernardone. He became her lifelong friend and spiritual guide. Determined to dedicate her life to God, Clare escaped one night from her father's home in Assisi. Several miles away in the little chapel called the Porzioncola, she received a rough woolen habit, exchanged her jeweled belt for a common rope with knots in it, and peacefully watched Francis cut her long golden tresses. Her sister Agnes soon joined her, as did other women. They lived a simple life of poverty, austerity, and seclusion from the world. Clare and her sisters went barefoot, slept on the ground, ate no meat, and observed almost complete silence. At the convent of San Damiano, Clare served the sick, waited on table, and washed the feet of begging nuns. She herself never left the convent walls, but popes, cardinals, and bishops often came to consult her. Clare died in 1253 and was canonized 2 years later. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado. Our first guest today is Nicole Jones. Nicole is the digital media manager with the Diocese of Baton Rouge. She is a busy woman, you guys. Today we're talking about AI, social media, and digital evangelization. Such a broad topic, but I think it's something that we need to continue to talk about, especially with the rapid growth of AI and the ever-changing platforms of social media, which we love so much. Good morning, Nicole. Thanks for being with us.
Morning, y'all.
It's so good to have you with us today. You know, I do love social media, Nicole, and you and I have brainstormed so many times, but there's something that comes with social media, which is negativity. So How can we evangelize in a positive way as Catholics on social media when it can be such a negative, daunting place to be, yet it is such a powerful platform for positivity?
Oh, yeah. No, whenever you called me about this, I got so excited because I knew that this is something that we've talked about personally in our own conversations. But yeah, there's so much to discuss. And I think one of the biggest things to talk about, even before talking about what you can do, is first understanding how you're consuming social media, like in the beginning, you know, because I am on social media all the time. That's my job. But I also have my own private social media. You know, I get the screen notifications just like everybody does, ironically, on a Sunday morning right before I go to Mass. And I see how much I use social media. And there was a point probably about a year ago where I noticed that I was using social media way more than I was actually like, or I was seeing things on social media more than I was actually using it as a platform for me to share the gospel or just like to encounter people. And so I did an inventory of how I was consuming social media, because really, if you're thinking about media, it's just like anything that you would consume, like food or drink or anything. And so, you know, I was like, what am I taking in before I can realize like what I'm even putting out there? And so the biggest thing that I would recommend for anyone who's seeing a lot of negativity, noticing that they're not being present to people, is really to do an inventory of who are you following, what are you seeing, and how are you using social media. So whenever it comes to who you're following, are you following people who are living lives of virtue? Are you following people that mean a lot to you? Are you just following people to follow people? Are you following influencers just because of what they wear, or very like surface level aspects of their life? As far as content, what content are you seeing? Are you seeing, again, content that is virtuous content, content that evangelizes? I mean, also content of your family. Like, are you actually seeing that content, or is your feed flooded by things that actually don't matter in the grand scheme of things, and things that aren't leading you to virtue? And then how are you interacting? I mean, are you on social media just to consume, or are you on social media to actually put your voice out there, to share things, how the Lord's working in your life, pictures of your family, great things that are happening to you? You know, these are all different ways that you interact with others and interact with social media as a whole. And I think that from that, you will see a lot of how you can be a part of this platform in a new and unique way of how the Lord's calling you. And there is merit in those who argue that if you have a ton of issues, if your screen time is really high, that you could just go on a media fast, and that's totally okay and totally great. But with on the other side of the coin, there's a need for good Catholic men and women to be sharing their faith on social media. So maybe instead of doing a digital fast, you can do like a digital diet, you know, like only for a few minutes a day. Make a promise that once a week you'll post something like regarding to your faith. I know there was a point in college whenever I made a folder on my phone and I titled the folder Hail Mary. And so I put all of my social media like apps in this one little folder, and then every time I opened it, I tried to pray a Hail Mary. I think I did it for Lent one year. But you know, like just little things like that, where you're entering into social media in a prayerful way, asking the Lord, like, how are you encouraging me to share your word with others? Because that's the Great Commission, you know, go and like share the gospel with all nations. And that's what we get to do on social media every day. So that would be a few of my recommendations.
So my favorite platform is Instagram, because I really try to make my feed such a positive thing. And David Dawson and everyone at CC Media is going to laugh, because I'm in the fall mood. It's getting closer. So I'm all about the pumpkins and the fall vibes and everything like that. And as soon as Labor Day hits, everyone knows all my pumpkin stuff comes out. I'm just that person, and I've always been that person. But I was really taken aback by Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. It changes all the time. I really dislike that platform just because it is the most negative platform I have ever been on. Yet, I think it's something that I still do go on, but it's less than 5 minutes a day because that's how much I can take. I don't know what's happening on that platform. It was really during COVID that I took a step back and realized that this is not a healthy place to get news or anything as far as having a, you know, a productive conversation. I think Facebook has kind of taken that turn, especially during elections, and I'm not trying to be political, but even during elections, it can get really bad. So I'm glad you said that. Posting a Bible verse maybe on your stories or posting something positive, maybe taking a picture of something that's happy and something that can inspire someone, because you never know. I'm kind of switching gears, Nicole, because I want to make sure we have time to talk about this topic, but AI, artificial intelligence, it is growing like crazy. Some people are scared of it. Some people are not. Some people are kind of in the middle. there we go. And so how can we navigate this rapid trend? Because it's kind of cool. Then if it gets too popular, it can be kind of terrifying. So we're kind of riding that fine line, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think it's really interesting. Both the topics, you would have thought that we're still in social media era, you know, but we're really in this turning point of switching from the era of social media to the era of AI, which is always really interesting, because whenever I was in college at the Manship School, you know, we were learning like radio and then, or well, newspaper, then radio, then TV, and then the internet and social media. And now we're in this age of AI. And whenever I was in college, we were already talking about AI because, you know, it was an up and coming thing and we were already kind of using it. I mean, self-driving cars were already a thing and different like robotics were already being made, but we've been encountering machine learning for years with algorithms. If you have Spotify, the Spotify Wrapped, you know, those are all different things that are using machine learning that also integrate AI. But for me, my biggest recommendation as a media professional would be know your sources, and not sources that are subjective in any way. Like, look for objective sources in the news that are reporting what is going on with AI. And it happens pretty frequently, but specifically with platforms and with companies that you use on a daily basis. So like if you're on Instagram all the time and you really enjoy Instagram, kind of stay tuned in to how Instagram is using AI or what they're planning on doing. I know I used Spotify as an example earlier. A few weeks ago, they just developed an AI DJ, you know, and then Snapchat, they have an AI feature, and that's one of my, Snapchat is not my favorite app. I got it in high school, and I really have stopped using it after I graduated college, but, you know, they have an app, or a part of an app now, where you can chat an AI 24 hours, 7 days a week, and I think that that's a little concerning, just because, you know, there are minors that have, or I shouldn't say minors, minors shouldn't be on social media. You have to be 13 and older, you know, but of course there are kids that are younger than that. And there are 13-year-olds on the app and they can message a robot basically 24 hours a day. And so I think that some parents might not even know that. And so if your kids have these apps, to especially know how they could be encountering certain types of AI and certain types of machine learning that these apps are using, and how these apps are also like getting information. And there are ways to access the information. Every person can access their information on their platforms, but it's kind of hard to find unless you know what you're looking for. So that would definitely be a recommendation. And then also, fake news has been a thing for a very long time. This isn't new. This has probably been around for almost a decade. But now I think it's going to be more and more prevalent because, I mean, you could see, I mean, whenever the Pope was wearing that like puffer jacket, I'm not sure if you saw that in the news, but it was a completely AI generated picture of Pope Francis wearing this big puffer jacket, and people thought it was legit, and it wasn't, because someone on AI like made this picture and it circulated, you know? And so it's going to take a lot of people knowing what to look for. And that's the way you can really be educated, knowing your sources, making sure you like fact check where information is coming from. And yeah, it's just, it's a new era of media. And that's why we have to really tune our hearts to the truth, like y'all say in every broadcast. So
I love that plug, Nicole. And I think AI is going to be something that we're going to be regulating in the future, because I think that a lot of companies are starting to realize what the power of artificial intelligence and where it can go. So thank you so much. Again, we could have an entire show talking about this, but I so appreciate your joining us. DIOBR is where you can go. DIOBR.org is where you can go to find out more about what Nicole does. If you have any questions, you can reach out to her. Nicole Jones, Digital Media Manager with the Diocese of Baton Rouge, thank you for joining us today.
Bye, y'all.
Bye. This won't be the last time you'll hear from Nicole. We'll continue this discussion later on. But yeah, definitely put in those practices on social media as well. Stay tuned. Deacon Martin Gutierrez joins us when we come back from the break. It is 5:30 on Wake Up. It is 35 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, and our next guest is Deacon Martin Gutierrez. Deacon Martin is a Vice President of Mission and Community Engagement with Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And today we are talking about disaster relief. You know, August and September are probably our most active months over in our area, so we always need to be prepared, especially during this time of year. Good morning, Deacon Martin. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby. It's always great to be with you. Thank you.
You know, we are always preparing for hurricane season the second it starts to the minute it ends. It can be a kind of a tumultuous time, really kind of a stressful time for many of us as well. We always need to be prepared. So tell us, what are some of the resources that Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans has for hurricane victims, just so we are aware that this resource is available in our area?
You know, to be honest with you, the best resource we have is my colleagues, our staff, our case managers, who are ready, always ready to respond. We have a team of employees who have regular jobs. They do it every day, but whenever there's a disaster, a hurricane, some kind of flood, they are activated and deployed to do what needs to be done in the aftermath of a disaster. So when you ask me about resources, the first thing that came to mind was our employees. You know, the way they care for the survivors, the families who are impacted, by connecting them to government assistance, to helping them manage or navigate the process of the recovery, dealing with insurance issues, the FEMA process. You know, it's very complicated. It can be overwhelming. But, you know, this morning I'm grateful for the staff that we have. And, you know, to this day, we're still helping individuals, families who are recovering from Ida. We know that hurricanes, tornadoes can have an impact that lasts many months and several years in the future of people.
Well, and you recently had a success story from Hurricane Ida, or about a victim of Hurricane Ida. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about this? Because Catholic Charities, you guys are boots on the ground.
Yeah, and we are boots on the ground for a long time. Like I just said, you know, we're still providing assistance to families impacted by Ida. Those families who had been, who had registered already through with FEMA, thanks to a contract that we signed with the state to provide case management assistance to families impacted by Ida, we are able to help individuals in several parishes. The state has divided the region among different groups or contractors, and we have several parishes. We have Orleans, St. Tammany, Jefferson, and St. Charles and St. John. So Ms. Guidry had her home permanently damaged due to Ida. She was referred to us through the FEMA system. We were able to connect her with our case managers, who helped her complete the application for the Restore Louisiana program. And she recently received a very significant grant so she can be able to repair her home. And that's one story of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds that we experience every week in helping our people here in the Archdiocese.
There's also a program or a resource called Spirit of Hope. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, Spirit of Hope is the program that we created after Katrina. And, you know, it provided that. It provided a spirit of hope for the people, and we kept the name. It's a program that stays hopefully dormant or sleeping when there are no disasters. But unfortunately, over the last 15, 20 years, it seems like it's always activated. So that's where we have our case managers who are working with the families currently impacted by Ida. But it's also a program that goes throughout the years, even though I said it was dormant. You know, dormant as far as providing assistance, but we are always preparing, as you said at the beginning. It's something that we got to do throughout the year. So we prepare and we maintain contact with the church parishes. One of the great things of being part of Catholic Church and of our local church here in Louisiana, especially in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, is the many, many, many church parishes that we have. And as soon as something happens, I'm with the Archbishop, with Sister Marjorie from Catholic Charities, visiting the impacted areas, meeting with the people, with the priests at the church parishes, connecting the dots, calling Second Harvest, calling people from other parishes who are interested in providing help. It's a great blessing. It's a privilege, and it's an honor to be able to do that and do God's work in times of disasters.
You know, we are always experiencing something either in a way personally or we know someone, whether it's floods, hurricanes, tornadoes in our listening area. And when something happens like that and it hits our home or our neighbors or our family members, we're always asking, okay, what do we do first? Where do we start? So how can Catholic Charities help people who are experiencing something like flooding, hurricane, and there's complete devastation in their home and their family, and they're looking for help? I know that's kind of a broad question, but can you tell us where can we start and how can Catholic Charities help our families?
We find that, you know, after major disasters, we often go to shelters and we encounter individuals, families who have been really impacted heavily by by whatever it was that caused the damage. And the first thing is just the ministry of presence. And that's something that we can all do. Be there for the people, listen to them, hear them out, provide a sense of calmness, of peace, of hope, you know, provide that spirit of hope that they need at that moment of despair. And then do an assessment. You know, our case managers are trained to assess the needs and what unmet needs do they have. Help them think things through. Help them develop a plan that they need to implement. It's their plan. It's their recovery plan, but we help them go through it. Yeah. But I think the main thing is that ministry of presence. We can always, always do that.
Yeah, help. I know we had neighbors who went through Hurricane Katrina in over in the Mississippi area, and help was one of the big things that gave them hope that they can continue to clean up and rebuild. So I agree with you. I think presence is a very big thing. Also, mental health, too. We don't think about that part, or sometimes we forget. We think about the rebuilding. We can't forget about the mental health, too, because sometimes we need to talk about the trauma that we have gone through when it came to a natural disaster. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about, and, you know, we have about a minute left, where can they go to seek mental health services over through Catholic Charities?
They can access not only our mental health services, our counseling program, but also they can access other programs, including, you know, dealing with the everyday crisis and disasters of our lives by accessing our website. The easiest way to connect is through that, ccano.org, ccano.org.
Deacon Martin, are there volunteer opportunities when disaster hits and maybe we are one of the fortunate ones who did not get affected by a disaster? Are there ways that we can help those who have been?
Definitely. And if we do not have the opportunity at that moment when the person is available, we know other groups, church, parish, organizations that need the help so we can make the connection.
That's great. CCANO.org is where you can go to find out those volunteer opportunities and more information. Deacon Martin Gutierrez, Vice President of Mission and Community Engagement with Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Gabby. May God bless you.
And he does so many things over at Catholic Charities as well. We're so grateful that we have the opportunity to speak with him. Always be prepared because you never know. So get your supplies ready. Have a plan for staying. Have a plan for going. And always check up on your neighbors, your elderly family as well. So always have a plan and know that God provides. And no matter what happens, he is with you. So I think I'm saying that to myself because it's something we cannot control, right? Our hurricanes. So we always have to have a plan. Well, I see Scott Smith in the Bannered Studio with Damien. We're going to be talking about consecrating our family to St. Joseph. You definitely don't want to miss this interview. It is 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
Minutes before the top of the hour. Happy Friday, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on Wake Up. And right now with us in studio, our good friend Scott Smith. He is a Catholic attorney and author of a number of books. He's also a publisher as well. And he's here to kick off something that we want to kind of reinvigorate, and that's Consecrating Your Family to St. Joseph, The Wonders of Our Spiritual Father, a book he wrote in conjunction with Father Donald Calloway, who we had on just a few days ago here on Wake Up. And now we've got Scott with us. Good morning, sir, and how are you doing?
Good. Good morning. Yeah, happy to be here.
All right. Well, good. Let's jump right into the fact that the book's been out, I guess, about 3 years, give or take.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, Father Calloway's original consecration of St. Joseph pretty much perfectly timed up with 2021.
Yeah, it sure did. Now, though, so, I guess we don't want it to become an afterthought.
Right.
And it's a book that is ageless. How does one, or what's the latest that you've discovered, you know, and now that the book's been published for a while, what are you hearing from those who have consecrated their families to St. Joseph?
Well, it's such a timely thing because the family is under attack, you know, now more than ever. And what's so interesting about St. Joseph is, you know, his connection with the patriarch Joseph. Right. There's no little detail of either of their lives that is not perfectly connected by God and providence. Right. So St. Joseph, you know, and his the patriarch Joseph had that Technicolor dream coat. Right. Right. That we that terrible, terrible movie.
But, yes.
And Andrew Lloyd Webber musical and all that. But we think about, I mean, the cloak, though. Patriarch Joseph's cloak was important, and so is St. Joseph's cloak, right? That he cloaks our family in protection. And what St. Joseph did with his cloak was he hid the Holy Family from Satan. That's why he's a terror of demons.
Yes.
And I thought this was just me coming up with this, but you know that's never the case. You know, start thumbing through the catechism, and you're like, oh, it's already there. It's already been known by the church forever. And that's exactly what
happened. You got to bring it to the forefront. You know, because we hear, and we were talking to Father Calloway about the fact that the rosary, that was the subject that we were chatting on, how it's a spiritual weapon.
Oh, yeah.
And as I was thinking and preparing for our segment today, I said, St. Joseph is our protector. So we've got a weapon and we have a protector.
Right.
With the Holy Family, of course, we have Christ, who we should turn to at all times. But how beautiful is all that, you know, that our church sees that.
Yeah. And who did God pick to be the protector of his family, of the Holy Family, but St. Joseph? So that's why we, too, should pick St. Joseph to protect our families.
Yes. Yeah. So how does one consecrate themselves, their family, to St. Joseph? I know there are certain dates that they should start on and try to finish on. September 30th, I think, is the next one for the consecration of the family of St. Joseph. But for those who are listening for the first time and hearing this for the first time, share with us it's not that complicated.
Point. Yeah, so September 30th is the date that you begin the 33-day consecration of St. Joseph if you want it to end on the Feast of All Saints. And what I love to do with my family, we kind of alternate between the St. Joseph consecration for children and families that we wrote And the Marian consecration for children, we alternate those for Christmas.
Okay.
Right? So you can end at the Feast of the Holy Family. You can end on, you know, the Nativity of our Lord at Christmas. It's just a great way to keep Christ in Christmas, right? Mm-hmm. So the entire Advent season, it's a 33-day consecration in the same format as St. Louis de Montfort's classic consecration. And it's a day-by-day prayer that mm-hmm. you say with your family. And there's, for our book, the St. Joseph Consecration, there's a little reading each day. You know, it connects it to a classic children's movie or book, like, you know, Willy Wonka or Cinderella or Sleeping Beauty, you know, like, you know, good Disney stuff before Disney went where Disney
went woke, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, no, but you do do that. And mm-hmm. and I think that's part of the gift that you have, is you tie it in with what children can understand and then the spiritual side of it.
Yeah, and it's not so much a gift as I'm just a kid at heart and a nerd, you know, so I love all the making all the connections between the, yeah, even superheroes, right? St. Joseph is the increaser. That's what his name means. So he's like, he's way better than any Avenger or Marvel Cinematic Universe superhero, right?
Yeah.
And Father Chris actually drew us a cool St. Joseph as a superhero illustration for the book.
Yes, well, and of course, you didn't stop there. You have now created and just recently published a new book entitled And I Saw a River.
Right.
And what's interesting about this, it focuses on the 200th anniversary of St. Mary's Church Parish in Falls River.
Right.
And there's a big celebration this weekend. So share with us, because there's a lot of people who are tied to St. Mary's over the years, and they may want to attend this event.
Yes. So this Sunday at 2 o'clock, right, because it's our parish feast day, we're celebrating the Feast of the Assumption this Sunday instead of on August 15th.
Uh-huh.
And this is our 200th anniversary, our bicentennial of St. Mary. Now, our parish of Pointe Coupee, our parish of St. Mary and St. Francis Chapel is really old. And the governor just issued a proclamation on about our community that, mm-hmm. I mean, we go back to 1699 was the first time a Eucharist was celebrated at St. Francis Chapel.
That's unheard of. I don't know if anybody really knows the history behind that.
No. So that 1728 was when St. Francis Chapel was established. And that marks us as the oldest Christian community, Catholic or any denomination, mm-hmm. not just in Louisiana, but in the entire Louisiana Purchase.
Well, if my math is right, in 5 years you'll be celebrating the 300th anniversary of the chapel then.
Right, exactly. So, so Sunday we're celebrating 200 years of St. Mary of Falls River,
okay.
which was established in 1823 by would later become Archbishop, the first Archbishop of New Orleans, Antoine Blanc. And in 1728 was the establishment of St. Francis Chapel. So in 2028, we'll have our 300th anniversary. So in just like 5 years, we'll have 100 more years of anniversary. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what will you guys be doing that's special this weekend?
Right. So Sunday at 2 o'clock, we're going to have a Marian procession. Most every one of our past pastors will be present for the celebration. The bishop is celebrating Mass. So, you know, I mean, all our beloved priests, Father Walsh, Monsignor, Father Uter, Father Mike, you know, they're all going to be there. It's like a family reunion.
And then you've got a festival after.
Right. We have kind of like a fête de tèche. We have a fête du New Roads.
I love it.
That's right. So we're going to have this great Marian procession to begin it. And then afterwards, Father Chris is going to be entertaining people in the rectory. We're going to be selling these books.
Yeah. And it's a very nice book, the history of the whole St. Mary's and even St. Francis Chapel. Where can they get it?
So
outside of showing up Sunday, sure. I would think you'll have copies. But
right. It's on Amazon, and I think Cherie at Catholic Art and Gifts will have a stack of them as well. We'll have paperback and hardcover.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Scott Smith, for being with us. It's been a while.
No, it's been too long.
But you've been
busy
behind the scenes, and I love it. So, again, the Consecration of St. Joseph, pick up his book if you want to do that for the family, or the new book about St. Mary's in Falls River, And I Saw a River. That's the name of the book, and pick that up or join them up there at St. Mary's in Falls River this Sunday. Mm-hmm. As always, this week goes by fast. We thank you for joining us, and we're going to close with a prayer to Our Lady. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here Monday at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Friday and a great weekend. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.